This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Page, or you can email us at outloudradio@gmail.com if you've got announcements or just anything you want to say or get involved with. And also remind people that there's a volunteer orientation taking place tonight. So it happens once a month. If you want to get involved in creating community radio, which is volunteer powered, by the way, get involved. Come down, go through the orientation, and find out how you can get involved with the Out Loud Collective and produce radio and get your voice heard. So, no more talk, though. I'm going to now turn it over to our interview featuring Logan Lin, who is the communications PR person for the Q Center, and talk about the great work that they're doing. This is Sasha, and you're listening to Out Loud on KBOO, and our guest this evening is going to be Logan Lin, who works at the Q Center. Hi, Logan.
Hi, Sasha. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, I was hoping you could just explain what you do at the Q Center.
Sure, yeah. I have many hats here. The main role is I'm Public Relations and Innovations Manager and have been, you know, for a few years. Recently, I also became Editor-in-Chief of QBlog, which is Q Center's blog space, and it holds 5 different blogs currently, so I'm also in that role. Basically, messaging and communications is what I do around here.
Great. And I think that there's a lot of folks, you know, that I've come into contact with aren't really that familiar with some of the resources. There's a lot of people moving to Portland and a lot of LGBT identified folks.
Yeah.
So I was hoping you could just talk about what the Q Center does and what the mission is.
Sure. You know, basically all of our work is divided into 4 core program areas, which are arts and culture, advocacy, health and wellness, and education and training. And so within those, you know, within those groups that sort of fulfill the mission, there are something like 77 different affinity groups that meet here on a, you know, sometimes daily, weekly, monthly basis. And that ranges from 55 plus groups for women to different spirituality groups. There's a bi pansexual conversation group, butch crew, there's coming out groups. There's a list of, like, you know, 8 or 9 different recovery options for people wanting to go the 12-step route, and also there's options available for people who don't. We really, you know, there's rainbow babies, there's all different kinds of peer support. But the thing to know about Q Center, I think, at the core, is that it's very much volunteer run. So for different groups, we try to basically hold space for the community to be whatever it's wanting to be at any given time. And that ebbs and flows, you know, groups come and go, but we do have a pretty set in stone function, and that is that within these walls, the LGBTQ and allied community gets to be themselves however they want to sort of be. And I guess, you know, another thing to remember in that is, like, no one person is ever the voice of Q Center. I'm not the voice of Q Center. We're all sort of collectively the voices of Q Center. So, like, the affinity groups, Q Center administration is not using the affinity groups like Gender Query or TransFem or some of those groups to speak for Q Center. And that flip side of that is that those groups or events also aren't, you know, speaking on behalf of Q Center. It goes both ways. So we're not having the group leaders speak about Q Center to their groups. It's really whatever happens in the different groups or meeting spaces is up to those facilitators. And we try to be supportive, and I obviously, in my role, spread the word about new offerings and ongoing offerings here, really just try to be a support agent.
Great, and I'll probably ask you to repeat this several times, but could you just, for folks who are new to the area, tell us where and how to find the Q Center online?
Sure. Q Center is located on North Mississippi Avenue, 4115 North Mississippi, just in between Mason and Skidmore. And our website's pdxqcenter.org.
And if people wanted to get involved, would they just go to the website?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to get involved. You can also always just show up. I mean, the beautiful part about Q Center is that it's open, and you can just come here, right?
Yeah, and I know that there's a lot of folks who are trans-identified or gender non-conforming, and I was hoping you could just kind of highlight, you know, some of the programming for the affinity groups that take place at the Q Center.
Absolutely, yeah. We have Trans Femme, Trans Guys, the Northwest Gender Alliance, Gender Query, which I know you've been really involved in over the years. Let's see. We also have male-to-female transgender peer support and female-to-male transgender peer support that happens weekly. And there are, you know, there are a few other event sort of offerings that are specifically tailored to the trans and gender queer community. Specifically, there's a new weekly drop-in here at Q Center that is called Trans Connect, I believe. And it is a partnership between Q Center and Transactive. And it's just a drop-in time to come get resources, similar in theory to what, like, the big annual resource fair community That resource fair does that annually, whereas this is more like a weekly. People can just come in and get resources, not only about the trans offerings here at Q Center, but sort of regional.
Yeah, I was going to actually interview Lizzie Richards, who does a lot of work around that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's she's the one that started that program, and is a, you know, a trans ally through and through. So it's great to have both people that are trans allies as well as transgender people involved in the programming. We're kind of trying to make it as accessible as possible. There's also trans offerings over at the SMRC location. The Sexual and Gender Minority Youth Resource Center, SMRC, in Portland is also now a program of Q Center and has been for a little over a year. And so we work with that population, ages 12 to 24 over there, similarly.
And also, it's my impression, and, you know, I might be wrong about this, but it feels like the Q Center is considered by many LGBT-identified folks in the community as kind of the living room for the community. I know that when there have been, you know, larger events that have happened in the community, that seems to be, you know, where people gravitate. I was hoping you could talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the main functions, I think, is that, you know, within these walls, there is a safe, supportive, positive place to hold difficult conversations, to gather together and be with each other socially or around different community events. You know, it's also just frankly available to come have a birthday party or, you know, a shower or something. So there's lots of uses, which I think is where that living room feeling comes from. The idea behind the community center, at least here, and I see this live out and played out over and over, is that it's a space where everybody can come be who they are, and that's okay, right? So even if we're not all the same, which, you know, none of us are, frankly, a lot of what we have in common here is that we fit somewhere into the acronym, and that's where our commonality often stops. But because of that commonality and because we have this shared experience when we leave this center and out into the world of, you know, often not being accepted for who we are, that's a beautiful thing we're all trying to cultivate. And that there's, you know, it's a ongoing process to try to figure out how do you serve everybody. But we're committed, I think, to figuring that out. I know I am, at least, really always trying to figure out how do we welcome everybody here? How do we get everyone to feel like it's their living room? And you know, that's an ongoing thing. I think we have a very clear identity in that we're here and we're open, right? And so what happens from there is really up to the broader community, the broader LGBT people, LGBTQ people who show up here every day to follow their dreams and make their dream for the world really come to life in a physical space.
Yeah, thank you. And also, so I just want to ask you about this briefly. Yeah. I don't want to dwell on it, but there was a recent story involving a performer who was going to perform at one of the nightclubs in town, and there was some fallout. And I was just hoping you could recap that and talk about, you know, how the Q Center has responded to it.
Initially, everybody was seeing the impact that conversation over on that event page for this performance was having on the community. And when that's happening, part of my role in the innovations manager part of my role here at Q Center is to, you know, be keeping a pulse of what's going on out there, keep my eyes and ears open. And when conversations like that are happening online, we often think, hey, this is a good opportunity to bring people together to actually talk face-to-face about what's going on, instead of it just being this virtual back and forth that everybody is sort of witnessing but not necessarily engaged in. And so this was one of those times. We have a long-running program here at Q Center called Face-to-Face Community Dialogues, which started in 2009. And so they often program their own, you know, it's all volunteer run, like I said before. Face-to-Face is no different than any other program here. It's volunteer driven, volunteer run by a group of conflict resolution and mental health therapists in town. And so, you know, sometimes they bring topics to the table, and other times we'll suggest topics when something like this is happening. This was one of those times where I said, hey, face-to-face team, are you all interested? Here's what's happening. I sent some links to different press that was happening around it. And you know, it fits right into the mission. The goal in my mind in doing that was, I see this community, right? We're all in this community together. A large portion of the community, 100 or more people, bought tickets to this show. And so while there was this section of the community that was booking this performer and buying tickets to come see this performer, there's this other section of the community who's saying, this is hurting me. This performer is hurting me. The fact that you would bring this performer to my city is painful and wrong. And so, you know, in hearing both of those voices, if we narrow it down to just each one being a voice, granted, within there's all sorts of lived experience and all sorts of personal pain and feeling that comes in that informs that voice. But my goal is, like, how do we get this diversity of opinion to interact in a respectful way so that we can move forward together as a community? And I, you know, I think that there's a lot of hard, painful work that has to go into that for that to happen. Part of what we have to do, in my mind and in the mind of my colleagues here, is also hold space for anger and outrage, right? Because there's justified anger and outrage. There's hurt in our community that we have to talk about. We have to unpack together, or it just gets buried and gets worse. You know, it's not like racism isn't already in the field with us, you know? Like, in my mind, sweeping issues of racism under the rug doesn't actually do queer people of color any good, or any of us any good. So how do we open the door for that conversation and actually hold space for a dialogue, not a monologue, an actual dialogue where all voices, even the most disturbing, painful voice, gets brought to the surface, looked at, and somehow unpacked? And I don't think that happens overnight. I don't think that happens in one event. I think it doesn't. There's not even one way of having that happen. There's lots of ways, and it's, you know, we keep having the same conversations until these conversations are no longer needed, because we've, you know, transcended, and we're just so far away from that happening that, you know, Q Center is committed to having this conversation, to holding space for this, as well as many other difficult conversations here at the center to take place. It's like, you know, if not here, then where? And I think it's tricky because it is so painful. There's a history of hurt that, you know, I can't even begin to relate to personally as a white cisgender male. That doesn't mean I haven't felt depression in my life either, but it's very different. And so in my role here, you know, I get it too. Logan Lynn, I get that I'm a person who gets to hold all kinds of megaphones, right? Like, even in the moment, I'm holding a sort of megaphone talking on the radio with you. And whether I'm on stage as a performer or in the press or through my writing or through my role in community organizations like at Q Center, those are all megaphones. And I realize also that the one holding the megaphone is the one that gets heard. So that's a privilege that I have, and it's something that I'm aware of, and I try really hard to respect. And I guess for me, just so you know, everybody knows out there, and just so you know, I also feel a deep sense of pressure with that privilege to somehow provide a space and a platform for marginalized voices other than my own to tell their stories. I absolutely cannot tell the story of the entire LGBTQ experience, but I sure can hold space for it here at Q Center. You know, like that much I know I can do. And I think that's where we're committed. We're committed to really moving forward and learning and listening. We got a lot of feedback from the community. Some communities of color thought we were right on, others did not. Some community, allied communities, thought we were right on, some did not. And so, you know, in that conversation, how do we enrich what we're trying to do? And so we, you know, the decision was made to postpone that dialogue and take a little bit of time to make it better. And I don't say make it better in that it was bad to begin with, because I don't think it was. It was, you know, the third in a series of these face-to-face dialogues on race. And they work. I've seen them work. They bring the conversation out. It's a particular paradigm. And it doesn't work for everybody. So with that knowledge, just knowing that, and that was part of what we've learned, I think, was that this particular model of process work or of processing dialogue doesn't necessarily work for everybody. And so as community center, we then explore, okay, well, what's going to work for other people? Which is why you're seeing now different offerings. That face-to-face community dialogue is still on the horizon. Probably first, you know, sometime in the coming weeks we'll announce details there. But on the 30th of this month, Kathleen Sadat is hosting an Our Voices event here at Q Center called Race and Ethnicity, Let's Talk About It, which is really just going to sort of be a panel discussion with elders from the LGBTQ person of color community, talking about their experience not only in Oregon but in the world, and also maybe giving some advice about how we can continue forward together to move through these you know, these conversations that frankly no one wants to have. They seem impossible, you know. I mean, it's and on a human level, it's this experience is the latest in a number of these. You know, we get into fire times with these dialogues. This has happened before on a number of occasions, and part of what we do is we go into the fire and we're willing to sit down in it. And it's very uncomfortable. You know, it's very painful for everybody involved. But at the same time, we're the community center, right? So we feel committed to expanding and supporting community. In this case, that means talking about these really painful things. Until they're resolved, frankly, and that's the level of commitment that everyone, at least in this organization, and I hope everyone in the community here is ready to sort of rise up to that challenge, because change really isn't going to come if we don't look at the reality of what's happening with race and racism in the LGBTQ community. It exists. It's here with us. So let's call it out, so it's not growing in silence in the shadows, you know, to sort of rise up later on its own. That was pretty long-winded, but in a nutshell, that's what happened. And with this event on April 30th, this Our Voices Race and Ethnicity Let's Talk About It event, it's a panel discussion, and all four of the panelists are leaders in their community and are civil rights leaders, frankly, in the civil rights movement. And they have lived this in, I would say, on repeat. You know, this is something that happens over and over within our community because these issues keep getting buried. And so I would love to, and I know the people involved in this event and the face-to-face event upcoming and different, you know, there's also Basic Rights Oregon doing the Dismantling Racism workshops, the Western State Center is doing this work, August Wilson Red Door Project is doing this work, all locally. The goal for all of us, I think, is to really see change come, to honor the past, to get to a place where we're really looking honestly at institutional racism. I'd like us to get to a point where we're all collectively looking really honestly at institutional racism, personal racism, just the racism in our culture, and the racism that's just frankly with us all the time in this LGBTQ community or communities that we are a part of. I guess, you know, on some level, I really believe that the people that would do us as LGBTQ people wrong really want to see us divided. So as much of this stuff that divides us, we can tackle head on and make progress around, racism being one of those things. I sense there's an empowerment beyond that we will not otherwise reach. If we are always fighting with each other, and don't do the hard work to get through the fight and onto the other side together. And it's a lot of hard work, you know, like I don't mean to sound Pollyannish when I say that. I really get that we can't all just get along right now. I get that. But in a long-term goal, I think that's what we all want. We all want to feel more united around these issues. We are a marginalized community. I can't stand the idea that somehow other portions of this LGBTQ acronym are being marginalized within the acronym, right? So as someone that does this work around the clock, I'm not satisfied saying, "Oh, this is a hard conversation. I guess we're not going to have it." Or, "Oh, we stepped in it. Shoot, I guess we should just not do it." Or, you know, I am determined to press forward and in a way that is inclusive and honoring the diversity of the community and, you know, really just providing a platform for people to do what they are moved to do.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Logan. Sure. I really appreciate that. No. And just to circle back a little bit to some of the more general programming at the Q Center, yeah. I understand that you've been doing some work around fair housing with the Bureau of Labor and Industries.
That's true. Yeah. BOLI, the Bureau of Labor and Industries in Oregon, has gone into a year-long project, collaborative project. It's sort of messaging and advocacy to try to get the word out about fair housing laws in Oregon. Particularly, you know, it's around discrimination in selling, renting, or leasing residential housing. And the new laws, frankly, have been changed so that discrimination is prohibited based on race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, national origin, marital status, familial status, or source of income. So this just means landlords can't screw you over for being yourself. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line. And part of our role in this partnership is to message out recourse if you have been discriminated against, to also empower the community to know that if you're being treated a certain way that's unfair, you don't have to just take it. You actually live in a state where you're not required to take it. And that's really exciting. You know, I love being part of the change or having good news for people. And this is like a really great piece of legislation that has occurred where we actually have rights, you know, like that's very, to me, that's touching in a way. And it does actually lead back into the topic of racism and, oppression in modern day society. There are so many ways to oppress people. Housing discrimination is one of the main ones. So to be seeing real change happen there is just, it's a beautiful thing. And I'm really excited that we get to play a part in making sure everybody knows that they're actually empowered.
Yeah, and I thought I saw some resources on your website about for folks who, you know, feel that they might have been discriminated against.
Absolutely, yeah. This whole sort of a layman's version of the law, as well as links to resources, and you can also access the full sort of full manuscript of the law if you wanted to really dig into it at pdxqcenter.org/fairhousing. Everything's on there. There's contact. You can also obviously contact one of us here, and we could direct you to where you need to go. But what's great about this is it's not a theory, you know, like it's an actual, tangible action sort of solution to a problem that's been plaguing our community for years and years, that now we're sort of the trailblazers in Oregon around what will hopefully someday be a federal law.
Great. Hopefully sooner than later.
Oh my gosh. Totally.
And just lastly, I know I've taken up quite a bit of your time this afternoon, so I just wanted
You're fine.
Okay, great. I just wanted to ask you if you could just give us a heads up about any special summer programming that might take place at the Q.
Yeah, I mean, we've just relaunched the website. So if you haven't been to the website, pdxqcenter.org, I would suggest going and taking a look. This last month we relaunched it. It's super user-friendly. All of the programs are sort of posted on the front page now. It's really easy to navigate. And with that relaunch, came the relaunch of QBlog, which holds space for a bunch of different blogs. The one I want to draw particular attention to is Queer Voices, which is an opportunity for everyone out there, LGBTQ and allied, to put out their ideas about the world and to start these conversations in the virtual space. It's sort of a way to bring that safe, open, accepting space that Q Center's building is into the virtual world for people that aren't necessarily here all the time or are and just want to continue conversations online. So that's one piece. There's also Queer Heroes Northwest coming up and Pride. Queer Heroes Northwest is our annual project collaboration with GLAPN, the Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest. And we choose 30 heroes from the local LGBTQ movement to honor every year. So that's going to be unveiled in June. We also have Senior Prom for the 55-plus group. And we have a bunch of new affinity groups at Q Center and new youth and young adult offerings over at the Sexual and Gender Minority Youth Resource Center. So, we're busy. Yeah. In addition to all these conversations, we're also really busy. And if you want to get involved with Q Center on the blog, the best thing to do is just send an email to qblog@pdxqcenter.org with a sample of your work, and someone will get back to you. If you want to get involved as a volunteer, that's all just on the front page of our website. And I guess I would encourage people, if you are out there and you don't see yourself represented at Q Center, or you don't sense that your voice is here, come here. We will carve out a space for you to put that voice out into the world. We will help you plug into the conduit that is Q Center with the rest of the community, because it really is everybody's. And the more voices and the more diversity we have, the more we're fulfilling our mission.
Great. And then just two last things. I just want to ask you about the Q Market, if that's still happening.
Yeah, Market Q. That's a sort of a part of that. When I talk about new youth and young adult offerings, it is Q Center's new retail shop, but it's also job training, a job training program for the young adults that are maybe looking to not go in a college route, but are wanting to get some just hands-on skill sets around retail or business. That's sort of the purpose that is serving. It's dual purpose. It's also a revenue generator for Q Center to keep its operational budget going. And it's a community engagement opportunity too, because we sell and feature different products made by LGBTQ people. So it's really one of those parts of the center that's very fluid and organic and exciting.
And then just, I know, I wanted to ask you about your career. You've been on Out Loud before talking about your work, so there's people that probably want to know about a follow-up.
And yeah, I mean, I have a bunch of things going on in the moment. There's a remix contest going on my website, which is loganlinmusic.com. You can win $250 for the best remix. So that's happening in the moment. I'm also working on new songs with some of my just all-time musical heroes, which is really... You know, it's an amazing experience to be able... I wish sometimes I could, like, take a time machine back to that 14-year-old sort of messed up version of myself and just tell him about what's going to be happening in a few years. And just, like, you know, he would have really thought this was cool, I think. So that's happening. I also, you know, we released Comp 175, that compilation record with me and Peaches and Matt Albert and Goddess and She, and that's still out, available. If you're interested, it's $15, 36 bands, 45 songs. All the money goes to LGBTQ programs and services in the Pacific Northwest, and it's $15. So to get that, you go to comp175.bandcamp.com. And I guess the last thing with all that is I'm just gearing up for this tour. On May 19th, I have a event with the Portland Sisters at Crush called One Nun, Few Peeps, which is a fundraiser for Outside In. And then it's full-blown summer tour for me. I'm going on tour with queer bear rapper Big Dipper. I don't know if you're familiar, but he's from Chicago. No. And Conquistador from L.A. A bunch of bands are doing this AccidentalBear.com benefit tour. And all the money goes to LGBTQ mental health services and suicide prevention. Mm-hmm. We're going to have 5 really big shows, one in San Francisco, one in L.A., one in Portland, one in Seattle, and one in New York City. And all the money goes to 5 organizations, Q Center, the L.A. Gay and Lesbian Center Mental Health Division.
Great.
The Stonewall Project in San Francisco, mm-hmm. Pride Foundation in Seattle, and the Ali Forney Center in New York. So it's exciting. You know, I'm getting to go out on the road again, which is great. I've been in a hiatus from playing shows for the last 3 years. So it's cool. I get to do both things at once, right? I love raising money for the LGBTQ community, and I also love music and playing shows and getting out there in the world doing that. So it's satiating both desires at once, which is really a rarity in my life. So
that's fantastic. Well,
it's exciting.
Awesome. Thank you, Logan. Thank you so much for coming on to the program. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, Sasha. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. Have a good day.
All right. You too.
Bye.
When I misbehave, can you find a way to ease this pain? Go and buy something to take it away. 'Cause I don't have the heart.
That was Logan Lynn singing Feed Me to the Wolves. And you can find more music from Logan Lynn at loganlynn.com. And he was also talking about the work, the great work that the Q Center is doing as well. And I just want to remind folks that you are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. So we're going to move right into the next section, which is going to be an interview with Lizzie Richards, who is doing amazing work in the community. So our next guest is Lizzie Richards, and welcome to the show, Lizzie.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sasha.
Yeah, Lizzie is an amazing, amazing, wonderful, fantastic person. If you haven't heard of her, you'll hear from her today. She's an amazing ally and volunteer in numerous places. And I just want to speak firstly about the work that you're doing at the Q Center. And I was hoping you could just kind of like let us know, you know, your involvement with that organization, what that's been, and what you're doing with them now.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. So in the past, I've worked with the Q Center for 2 years as their volunteer and events coordinator. Now, I'm no longer doing that just because I went to school for social work, and I kind of have more interest in doing direct service in the community. So we've actually blossomed a new program that kind of uses the expertise that I have in social work, and that program is called Community Connect. And it's a collaborative program of Q Center and Transactive Education and Advocacy. And Transactive is a nonprofit in Portland that works to serve transgender children, youth, and their families. So this program is designed to address the gaps in services in the Portland trans community. It's just a program, it's a drop-in program specifically for trans-identified individuals anywhere on the gender spectrum, really. That's held every Thursday at the Q Center from 4 to 8 p.m. And it's like a case management program. There's an advocate on hand to refer people to community resources, such as hormone referrals, legal name and gender changes, counseling, housing, you know, just among many things that can be really hard to navigate when you're already being oppressed and having a difficult time with the system. So that program really just came about because there's not a lot of resources in one place in Portland, so there's quite a few like individual practitioners in Portland that are serving the trans community through counseling, and there's a couple programs here and there, like the Trans Clinic at Outside In, but they have a huge wait list, and what we found is there's a really big need for a safe, supportive space where people can come in and have a one-stop shop where their needs are met. And that's what we're doing. So we also, one of the projects that I worked on in November was a trans resource fair during Trans Awareness Week. And an overwhelming response that myself and the other organizers had was, why does this only happen once a year? And so the community, their voice was really heard, and they were saying they need resources year-round. And so Q Center and Transactive teamed up and listened to those community voices and decided to provide a free service to meet that community need. And so Transactive gave Q Center their community expertise in navigating the system for trans folk, and Q Center provided a central location for the services to take place.
And could you just tell us when and where again?
Yeah, I can. It's held every Thursday at the Q Center from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., and it's a free program.
And the Q Center is at, do you want to?
Yes, the Q Center is located in the Mississippi District at 4115 North Mississippi Avenue.
Yeah, and they also have a website, too. Folks can, I'm sure Logan probably repeated it a few times in the interview. So.
Yeah, you can go online and look at the calendar at www.pdxqcenter.org.
And I was curious, could you give us an example of, you know, a typical question or concern, you know, that you've heard, you know, over your time doing this work that, you know, that people, like, kind of just to get people thinking about kind of, you know, resources they might need that they don't
absolutely,
know.
Absolutely, yeah. So I would say the biggest question that I have is, it's normally someone maybe who has really done a lot of work on their identity, and they just really know who they are, and they're at this point where they want to self-actualize, and they want that identity to become real. And so they'd like to get a legal name or gender change, and that would mean you have to get a court order, you have to go and get that name recognized through the DMV, Social Security, passport, even birth certificate. And so a lot of times people come in and they just, because of the legality of it, I mean, it's just not really like well-known mainstream information how to do those things. So often I get questions on, hey, I think I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not really sure, and it's all really confusing and kind of conflated, and the only way I know how to do it is from a YouTube video. And so, which is really great because the community has risen up and has found ways to get information across in their own way. But sometimes, like I said, that information is conflated, and it is different in different municipalities. And so I'll just walk a person through the process in Multnomah County. I can even get the name changed for them and get fees waived if that's something that's necessary, if they're low income, among just dispelling any myths that go along with the process.
Yeah, and you've also done a lot of other work with the Q Center as well, haven't you? Yeah.
Yes. I've just done so much work with them. They've been so great. With volunteer coordinating, I really was able to meet so much of the community and be a part of a lot of collaborative partnerships in the community. So I've been a part of a lot of events in the community, conferences, and particularly I know Q Center is starting an advocacy team, and that's something that I'm a part of right now, and that's just working to see what other advocacy is needed. Basic Rights Oregon does a lot of political advocacy in the community, which is so great. Same with Human Rights Campaign. But there's definitely more advocacy in terms of what individuals in the community need that we're trying to start to address.
Thanks. And I also understand that you've recently been given an award. Could you talk about that?
Oh, gosh, yes. So I was recently awarded a social work award. It's called the Joseph S. Gallegos Award for Commitment to Service and Leadership. And if people don't know, Dr. Gallegos is actually an Oregon politician and a social worker, and I was privileged to actually have Dr. Gallegos as a professor for a class many years ago. And it's just an award that's given to someone with a commitment to social justice, and I'm humbled to say that they gave me that award for being an advocate for gender justice in the community.
Well, I think you deserve it, for sure.
Thanks, Sasha.
Yeah. And then also, just, you know, before we let you go, could you talk some about your work with Transactive?
Absolutely. So that's where most of my recent work is. Like I said earlier, I'm an intern there, and I've been interning there for about a year now. And I work as a counselor, a case manager, and a workshop trainer, among other little things. Like, I'm the person behind the phone. And really what Transactive does is they work specifically with children and youth that are trans or gender nonconforming under the age of 21, and they are the only wraparound service in the country that does the work that they're doing. It's quite amazing. I'm so privileged to be part of that team. And what I do is I facilitate their support groups. For children as young as 2 years old, we do socializing activities to kind of normalize their experience, because it can be really difficult being 5 years old and being someone who was assigned male at birth and loving to wear pink frilly dresses. So we just work on, you know, loving uniqueness and work on bullying tactics and how not to let that affect us. And additionally, do one-on-one counseling with youth. And I go out in the community and do trainings, a lot of times for schools who may have had a trans youth in their school who has faced discrimination or bullying, and they just really don't know the policies that reflect the rights of the youth. So I go in there with a team of educators, and we let them know that the policies, there are policies intact and what the rights are of those youth.
Well, thank you so much for your great work, and thank you, Transactive.
Yeah, they're great.
And, well, thank you so much, Lizzie, for coming on to the program. This is Lizzie Richards, who's an amazing volunteer who works with the Q Center and Transactive. And could you just remind us again, you know, the times and where to find you for the resources?
Yes, to find me for any trans resources, you can see me at the Q Center every Thursday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Wonderful. Thanks, Lizzie. Have a great night.
Thank you. Have a great night, too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That was Lizzie, of course, Lizzie Richards. And for our next segment, I want to jump right into is our monthly piece that we've begun bringing you from Tammy Why Not, who reads the stars for you. Well, that's the B-52s, of course, and they're wonderful, but that wasn't Tammy Why Not, so we're going to play Tammy Why Not now. Sorry about that.
It's trial time!
Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
Tam's Telescope for April 2013. Spring's here, y'all. Time to clean out your garage and get your freak on. Since the sun's in fast-paced Aries, I'm going to scoot on to the sun sign forecasts. Aries. Happy birthday, hot stuff. The first half of April has your name all over it. And if you want kudos, nudge your way to the spotlight. People sing your praises, so stash your wallet and let them buy you a few drinks. Mars is revving your engine, so watch how you steamroll. After the 20th, take your green thumb out back for a garden party. Taurus, it's noisy out there, Taurus, and you need a quiet meadow or a bar stool to escape to. What could do the trick is unplugging that alarm clock for a week, but missing a day's wages ain't your jam. Just get some R&R and keep your private business on the down low until the 20th. Afterwards, you'll feel rested and ready for birthday bliss. Gemini, your friends will be pushing your buttons this month, and it feels like you've signed up for social boot camp. Just jump in the mix and show your team spirit, because when it's teamwork, honey, it don't seem work. Around the 20th, your efforts will be rewarded with a month-long sabbatical to Imagination Land. So pack your bags. Cancer, girl. The planets have you feeling like Mary Tyler Moore as you shine at work, but stumble in your personal life. It seems the more drama there is at home, the more likely you'll be voted Employee of the Month. By the 20th, the sense of balance will return and you and the gal pals can head out to Benihana's to celebrate. Leo, You've got the fever for the flavor of something or someone foreign, Big Kitty. Planning a trip to Spain should cure your itch faster than just prowling around the airport or a youth hostel. If you can't escape, go out for some Spanish tapas. By month's end, you'll be back to your bossy ways as your career takes center stage. Virgo. Feeling strange, Virgo? You might be suffering from a touch of spring fever. The overwhelming scent of lilacs and the sight of cherry blossoms and shirtless window washers might drive you to undo a button or two. Worry not. As the 20th rolls around, you'll regain your composure and bury your head in a book or slip off for some night school credits. Libra, you might be picking fights with your honey poo just so you can make up later. Knock it off, Libra. There are other ways to spice up your love life. If the big bad world is causing you grief, address the culprit and meet it halfway. Don't thrust passive aggression on those closest to you. In month's end, prepare yourself for some sexual healing. Scorpio. You've been doing some serious spring cleaning, Scorpio, and nothing is safe from your hoover. With Mars and Aries, you've been cleaning up your act and anybody's clock that gets in your way. Just remember to watch your tongue at work. By the 20th, look forward to some down and dirty snuggle time. Sagittarius, you've been feeling frisky, Sag, and flirting up a storm. Take advantage of this freewheeling time with some late-night tango lessons and a wine picnic. Otherwise, you'll find yourself at month's end stuck at that boring old office with cabin fever. Capricorn, ooh, girlfriend, your kinfolk and roomies are bringing up some touchy topics now. Try to keep your cool and hear the whole story. Taking time off work should clear your head so you can deal with the drama straight on. By mid-month, things should calm down so you and your sweetie should break out the bubbly. Aquarius. Literature is a turn-on for you while Mars scoops through Aries. You might even get hot for teacher and make plans for some extra credit. Stay focused and watch what you say. You think you're being witty and cute, but others aren't amused. After the 20th, your thoughts suddenly turn to baking. Pisces. Hey, little fishy. You've been working your fins to the bone to make ends meet, and now it's starting to pay off. However, you might need to change your spending habits and divert some of that pirate's booty to the bank. You're going to need a few sand dollars when you decide to take that beach trip at the end of the month. Well, that's it for April, y'all. Go slip on your garden clogs and I'll see you come May. Oh, and keep looking at the stars, but not at my skirt. That'd be rude. Toodaloo!
That was the amazing Tammy Why Not, who monthly brings you the horoscope for the month. Just want to thank all our guests. I want to thank Logan Lynn and Lizzie Richards. I want to thank our engineer, Liam. And I want to thank Tammy Why Not. And I want to thank everyone out there listening to the program this evening. Have a great evening. Keep on staying proud and keep on living out loud.
One. Molly.
Good evening, you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. We just got done listening to Out Loud. Coming up next, Hard Knock Radio. Keep it locked. And as always, if you haven't donated, please go to www.kboo.fm and give what you can. Excuse me, give what you can.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of this Hard Knock Radio. Davey D hanging out with you this afternoon. On today's show, we talk about tomorrow's upcoming event featuring Angela Davis. Later on, we're going to talk with Cop Watch about what is going on in the city of Berkeley. And later on, we're going to round it off with a conversation about gentrification. All that and more coming up after the afternoon headlines.
Representing Hard Knock, the hard knocking on your radio on 94.1 KPFA. What? With the way you feel it.
Hi, I'm Margaret Cho, and you're listening to Hard Knock Radio on KPFA.
This is Reefer One Rock Rebel putting hits on the devil. When I'm not listening to Hard Knock Radio, I'm out painting this urban canvas we call the Bay Area with some fly pieces. So tune in, y'all, Monday through Friday, 94.1 KPFA. Yeah.
I want to say what's up to everybody. Davey D hanging out with you. Got a lot to cover today. And of course, we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge what has taken place in the city of Boston yesterday with the tragic events. Two bombs killing two or three people, injuring more than 150. And it has caused a lot of concern. In thinking about that and putting our prayers out to those who have lost life or who are seriously injured, and there are many, it's hard to look at this 12 years after 9/11 and remembering all the emotions that went through our hearts and minds when that took place. It was a time when many people felt the humanity in one another and felt like coming together and wanted to uplift folks. It was the end of age of innocence, as they like to say, for many of us in this country who've never experienced any sort of direct hit. or an act of terror coming within their midst and resulting in the loss of life. But out of that, you know, 12 years after the fact, what should have brought us together has now resulted in us being more divisive, distrustful, very fearful. And there are many who have taken full advantage of that, our corporate media included. It was just amazing to me when watching the coverage and remembering that there were people from all over the world who came and people from all over the world who got injured, that we didn't see that really being spoken about, the international aspect of it. It was just kind of focused on us and us alone, as if we were the only ones on this planet dealing with that sort of challenge of people who are discontent and then willing to act on that discontent in terms of harming and killing those who weren't directly involved in that discontent, or at least for what we know. And so seeing the Boston Marathon and seeing what took place, and then turning on the TV and seeing endless and endless rounds of the same footage over and over again with no new information.